Good morning. Thank you for having us. We are your Teen Challenge Ministry team, and we are here to spread a special message of hope and bear witness that there is true recovery from addiction through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Addiction is a plague to humankind. It afflicts every country of the world and does not discriminate between race, gender, age, or economic class. Addiction can become a dark beast that may have started with us picking it, but leads to the experience of it picking us. Without a reason to hope, many feel that a life free from addiction is just not possible. But I have good news. The beauty of God is that no matter what depth we've sunk to, or problems we've created out of our own free will, He does not leave us there. He always meets us at the bottom. The men beside me, myself included, just a few months ago, all of us were at rock bottom. Some of us were homeless, some on criminal charges, some in prison, some overdosing, and some suicidal. We were all consumed by a crippling addiction. We were all lost and hopeless before we came to Teen Challenge, but now we are experiencing the healing power of God. Since we've been in this program, we have found hope, love, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen. My name is Adam. I'm 37 years old, and I'm in the last month of the program.
I'm Michael. I'm 20, and I'm from Bolton, Ontario, and I'm in my 6 months in the program.
I'm Cole, and I'm 20, and I'm in my 6 months program.
Thank you. We're here today to be servants, to pray for those of you that are still struggling and have lost hope, and to share stories of God's redemption in our lives. Thanks again for having us.
I destroy homes and tear families apart. I will take your children, and that's just the start. My grip is so strong, I dare you to try me. But once you do, you may never break free. Try me once, and I might let you go. Try me twice, and I will own your soul. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money. I guarantee I will leave you all alone. I will take and take till you have nothing more to give. And when I am finished, you'll be lucky to live. I will be your master and you will be my slave. I will even go with you right to your grave. My name is Addiction. I don't think I need to tell you that addictions are becoming more frequent and highly visible in our country. The toll of crippled lives and premature deaths mounts every day. Currently, we're actually in a national health crisis with addiction. And stats would tell you that there's 8 million Canadians who fit the criteria for substance abuse. It's crazy. So there is something going on across the world, and it's called the opioid crisis. And I'm going to just shed some light on what's going on, because I think it's important for you guys to know. So in London, Ontario, where our Teen Challenge Center is, last year, London had the third most opioid overdoses in all of Canada. This is not a per capita stat. This is national. In London, Ontario, we handed out needles at a rate only second to Vancouver. In London, Ontario, it's the only city in Ontario where blood-borne illnesses such as HIV and hepatitis C were actually on the rise. So I was curious this morning. I was born in Welland, so please don't hold that against me, everyone. There you go. One fan. Perfect. But anyway, I was curious to see what's going on in the Niagara region. So I was actually pointed to niagararegion.ca for some alarming statistics. So here we go. So this is 2019. They've updated all of their stats. 498 suspected opioid overdoses that have been responded to by EMS. So too shy of 500. 74% of EMS calls related to overdoses occurred in males. 62% of overdoses calls occurred in individuals ages 25 to 44. The percentage of those calls made in Niagara Falls was 24. So it's very heartbreaking to me that there's so many people out there right now, right outside this church. It won't take you too far to walk down the road and see what's going on in your city. Trapped. People are trapped in their addictions. So many lost souls. I see so many people that are hopeless in their addictions, and I can't even count on two hands the amount of friends I've lost to either suicide or overdose. And I'm sick of going to my friends' funerals. It bothers me, and it should bother you. So I once too believed the lies that I couldn't change, that I wasn't good enough, that I would always be an addict, a criminal, a lowlife, a piece of garbage. I was ashamed. I was full of guilt. I hated myself. I was suicidal. I lost all hope. But now I know different. Overcoming addiction is possible. And if I can get that slide, please. Jesus. Matthew 11:28 is a scripture that I love that really sums up, you know, what Jesus means to an addict. So Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, addiction, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank God we have a Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So here's what I want to say. This is the same Christ that you need just the same as we do. This is the way maker. This is the one that heals. He is the one who can help you overcome whatever is going on in your life. So I just wanted to encourage you with that today. So just a little bit about Teen Challenge. So did you know the Ontario Men's Centre in London at 68 beds is the largest and most successful rehab program in Canada? It's so awesome. And we did a survey to the graduates of Teen Challenge two summers ago, and it was so encouraging with the feedback that 60% of our graduates are now saying they're still abstinent from drugs and alcohol. It's incredible. And know what else is cool? This is probably the stat I'm most proud of, is 24% of our staff across Canada are actually graduates like me. Which is phenomenal. Frontline, kingdom business. Yeah, hallelujah. So as Adam said earlier, and this is really my encouragement to all of you, because I don't know by looking out into the crowd right now how close to home addiction is actually hitting you. Maybe it's you, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter. True freedom is possible. We know from experience at Teen Challenge. Our approach at Teen Challenge allows us to invest deeply in the individual to help them pursue full recovery and to lead a life of sobriety. So the Teen Challenge program, it's 12 months. It is long. It is difficult. It is expensive, and it is full of challenges. But we choose it because it's the best hope for sustainable recovery. Donors and volunteers support students very generously because they see the results and they believe every one of these guys is worth the effort and the cost. So thank you for having us today. We had a great morning so far, and God bless you guys. So I'm going to call upon Michael, and Michael's going to share his story.
Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm going to be telling you how I came out of the dark and into the light. I grew up in a financially stable home with Catholic parents and my big brother, Frankie. Life was good for the most part. But however, my father was an abusive drunk who always came home drunk and in a bad mood. He would take it out on me and my brother, but mostly my mom. Behind closed doors, no one ever knew what was going on. Alcohol took over my dad's life. My mom never left him because she always had faith and hope that he would change. She fought and fought, and thank God my dad changed and stopped drinking, and now he knows his limits. Once he got over his addiction, mine has just started. I was never smart in school and was bullied in elementary school. That caused me to start smoking cigarettes and weed. I loved it so much because it helped me escape the mindset that I was in and just forget about everything and anything going on in my life. By the age of 14, I tried cocaine at a house party, and it did not take much longer from there to be an everyday thing. Before I started using other substances like crack and prescription pills, I was able to hide my addiction from my family all the way up until I was 18. The last 2 years were hell. I would go to my grandparents' house just to steal their jewelry and money. I was ruthless and stopped at nothing to have access to money for drugs. I lied, cheated, and manipulated to get what I wanted. I was selfish. I only cared about myself. I did the same thing with my parents. I went through all means necessary to get the things I wanted. When my parents found out about everything, they kicked me out of the house and I was living in the streets. And if I wasn't on the streets, I was with my boys who were also up to no good. They were drug dealers. I would do all kinds of crimes just for them so that I had somewhere to stay and have access to drugs. When I realized that my life was going downhill, I wanted to change and get help. After living with drug dealers and junkies like myself, I decided to go home and try to make things work with my parents. Unfortunately, it was not that easy. I got into a big fight with my dad, which led him to call in the cops, and they came and took me away. They had me in a holding cell for 12 hours, but my dad decided not to press charges, but did not want me back at home. So I went back to the life that I knew and that I was living, which was on the streets. On the streets, they did not want me back at home. And I got arrested later on for aggravated assault and robbery, but my robbery charge got dropped. But I was serving time for the assault. A little while after, my dad paid my bill, but still didn't want me home. I went back for a third time to beg to take me back, and the answer was still no, which led to a fight with me and my dad and led me punching him. He called the cops, and they answered the dispatch. The girl who answered the dispatch knew me well from the streets. She came to my house and talked to my parents and kind of worked like a mediator between me and my parents. When she told me that my parents love me, but they just don't know how to help me, I dropped to my knees and started crying and begging her to help me. She told me about Teen Challenge and how it was a one-year Christian-based program. I looked at her and laughed. 1 year, yeah, okay, that's a long time. She told me, Mikey, you need this. A 30-day, 60-day, even 3-month program will not help you. You need at least 1 year to yourself, and I'm telling you this because I almost literally just lost my son's life, and that's where yours is heading. She gave me information on Teen Challenge, but I still thought she was crazy. That same night, I ended up smoking crack, and I tried to hang myself in a junkie's basement. Luckily, the extension cord only caught halfway around my neck. That's when I realized I needed help. I ran into Officer Christina again and dropped to my knees. I told her I need my family back, and I want to change. I can't keep living like this. She then made a call that same day and spoke to Derek in the intake office. I entered Teen Challenge on August 20th, 2019, since coming to Teen Challenge, I've been able to restore my relationship with both my parents and my big brother, Frankie. I've been able to work on my self-control and people-pleasing issues, along with my anxiety and my depression, by attending counseling with my counselor, Perry. It is a true blessing that I got to meet Perry because he helps me out so much with my problems and my anxiety that I suffer with and makes me see past all the negativity. I enjoy doing my PACE program, personal academic Christian education work, which allows me to learn more about God and draws me closer to him. I was never good in school, nor did I attend school often, but the PACE program is awesome and fun. It motivates me to get my work done and move on to the next contract. I am also grateful to waking up early for work therapy because it shows me responsibility and prepares me for the real world, where it is not okay just to sleep in all day. I also enjoy my devotions and getting to know God more and more, working on my relationship with him and making it stronger. I love devoting my mornings to him, and I forever will as long as I live. And let me tell you about the D-board discipline. It took me a while to understand the D-board system, but after a couple of times being on it, it made me realize that it is good. And the staff isn't here to take things away from you, but to help you from the old ways and the old habits that we had. I had a little discipline prior to coming here. And I'm grateful for it because it not only teaches me to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. It also helps me and practices me with my self-awareness and brings me closer to God. And one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Don't be anxious for anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." And I'm forever thankful that God led me to Teen Challenge, because Teen Challenge restored relationships and made the foundation in my life stronger. Thank you, guys.
Hello. My name is Cole. I am from Port Perry, Ontario, and I am 20 years old. I had a great childhood growing up, but unfortunately was sexually abused by a babysitter at age 6. The police were involved, and at that age, I felt like I did something wrong. From that point on, my grades began to drop drastically, and I started getting into trouble at school. I started smoking weed and drinking at age 13. This led me to being diagnosed with depression, panic attacks, derealization, which is a form of long-term psychosis. In grade 9, I began getting in trouble with the law for selling drugs. I was going down a very dark road, and I was in a full-blown drug addiction by grade 12. My mom continuously told me that there is rest and peace in Christ, and if I was to give it all to him, then I would get better. So one night when I was in my room, I found a Bible that my mom left me. I prayed to God to get me out of this lifestyle and to help me with my addiction. And 3 days later, on July 26, 2018, I was arrested with multiple charges of trafficking, possessions, and an assault. I was mad and felt betrayed by God for getting me arrested and putting my faith in him. I continued to use and wanted nothing to do with this God thing again. I often did not have money to support my habit, so a couple months later, on January 1st, 2019, I committed a robbery and was charged a few days later. My arrest caused huge problems within my family, resulting in me moving out. This is where I hit my rock bottom, because my addiction had control over my whole life and took a huge toll over my overall health. I began to lose a lot of weight, and I became homeless and lived in a shelter in Oshawa for a while. I pawned and sold everything that I owned, until one day when I was at a friend's house, I stumbled across a Bible. I once again cried out to God and prayed because I was desperate and out of options. And a week later, I was arrested and put in jail for a breach of bail and possession of drugs. While I was incarcerated, I began to talk with the chaplain. I got my hands on a Bible and started taking my relationship with Christ seriously. I served 40 days of dead time before I went to court to fight my charges. I had a few false witnesses ready to testify and lie to get my charges dropped, but I was convicted by the Spirit, and I knew what Jesus would want me to do. So I pled guilty. I told the judge that I needed help, and he recommended Teen Challenge. I was released from jail on August 20th and was baptized 2 days later. On September 4th, 2019, I entered the Teen Challenge program. Since I've been at Teen Challenge, I've learned a lot about the love of Christ, and that there is salvation for everyone who calls out to him. Being at Teen Challenge has helped me to have a spiritual discipline and a more positive attitude and outlook on life. I like the counseling that is provided here, and I am really learning about who I am in Christ. I still struggle with a few things, though. I am currently working on self-denial, not to swear, being obedient to God's word, and how to walk in the Spirit. God has given me the hope and the strength to keep pushing forward. My prayer life has increased, and He has been revealing my gift of encouragement to the brothers in the program. In the past few months, I have realized that Christ has always been by my side, even in my darkest times. He has always had His hand reaching out, waiting for me to grab it. I have a call in my life to do missionary work with Habitat for Humanity. Lord willing, I also plan to help the homeless and participate in sharing God's word with them. I will accomplish His will, and I strive toward that goal. I am thankful to all the people God has put in my life to train me to do so. Now, my favorite verse is Philippians 3:12-14, which is, I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I do not feel like I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. Yeah, I like this verse because it really sticks out to me about the goals that I have set and how Christ has really worked in my life, and He's pulled me closer to Him, you know? Like, He's continuously working, and everything is in His hands, you know what I mean? So there's always chains that can be broken with Christ, and no matter what, if you give it up to Him, He can always use what's troubling you right now as a sidewalk that you can walk on and get through your problems. You know, just continuously give it up to Him. And in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So give it up to Him, stand in freedom, and that's all. Thanks.
Okay, my name is Adam. I grew up in a loving family with both parents, two sisters, one older Mandy and one younger Ashley. We started out in a one-bedroom apartment in British Columbia. Both my parents had grew up poor, so they wanted to provide us with a life they never had. They worked very hard to achieve these things. Because of this, we moved around a lot. My dad was at work a lot, and we'd move from school to school. And to fit in as a new kid at new schools, I would get into a lot of trouble and get into a lot of fights. By the time we got to high school, I began selling and using drugs. My older sister started going to church, but my younger sister and me both got heavy into the drugs. We were young, 1 year apart. We shared many of the same friends and did a lot of things together. Using drugs and hiding drugs from the rest of our family brought us very close. We trusted each other, and we would hide it from everybody else. By the time I finished high school, I was able to get a great job where I traveled the world. I made lots of money, and I thought that I was happy. I chased after material things, possessions, social status. You know, I cared more about what everybody else thought and stopped caring about who I was and what would make me happy. I didn't know God, so I looked for happiness in all other things. At 25, I had a son. I had a son with a woman who I wasn't married to or wasn't even in a relationship with. I thought I could force myself into responsibility. I thought that, up until that point, I had used drugs, I'd partied, I'd lived promiscuously, I'd done all types of things, but I thought, now with the son, if I just bought myself a house, forced myself into a mortgage payment, you know, everything will be okay. And I wish I could say that that's where it all ended for me, but it didn't. And at that point, I started using opiates. I used opiates from the ages of 25 to 30. So at 25, I had a house, two cars, a son, things appeared normal. By 30, I'd lost everything. I'd become homeless. I'd sold and just got rid of everything. I attended my first treatment center. I went in. It was a one-month program. And I came out, and I went right back to using. I'd gone in, using pills. I'd come out using needles. I struggled again, you know, and I went to another treatment center maybe 3-4 years later, a 6-month program this time, but came out, I was maybe clean for a year, and same thing. And the problem when you go through these treatment centers and you fail is that now I began to believe that I was unfixable, that there was nothing that could help me. I didn't know God. I felt extremely hopeless, and I was homeless. I lived on the streets, in and out of shelters. And, you know, me and my younger sister, she lived a similar life. So we shared, again, a lot of the same experiences. We'd get places, and then we'd lose them. I would get a job for a couple of weeks and then lose it. It was a miserable life. It was hopeless, and I was scared. Like, and the more drugs I kept using, I began to experience drug-induced psychosis, where, you know, I would hear things, I would see things, I was freaking out. I felt like I was being tormented by demons. And in the February of last year, it was cold, I was homeless, I had nowhere to go, and finally I cried out to God. I didn't know who he was, but I got down on my hands and knees, and I cried and I prayed. I said, God, if you could save me from this life, I will fight for you. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to fight for you. And the next events that began to unfold are just miraculous. I was homeless. I went by my parents' house to see if I could just stay for a bit and warm up and get some food. And my older sister was there. My parents didn't want me to come in. We'd obviously been down that road years before. My older sister said I could stay at her house. She said, you can crash on my couch as long as you remain clean and that you try to get into rehab, you try to get some help. So we started making those phone calls and things started lining up. We left for a detox facility. We were on the way there. I had my bags and everything in the trunk. Just as we were about to get on the 401, phone rings, the detox facility calls. They said, we can't take you. We're not going to take you. You're coming off methadone, fentanyl. I was an intravenous fentanyl user. They said, we're not medically equipped to handle the withdrawals you're going to go through. I thought that was it. Again, hopeless, right? Pack it in. Told my older sister, drop me off here. You know, I'm done. She locked the doors and got on the 401. She started praying. She said, Adam, God's got a plan. Don't worry. God's got a plan. He's going to save you. God's got a plan. We started driving. I started calling every detox facility in Ontario. Full, full, full. I'm from Oshawa, so we had to go through Toronto. My sister said, I'll drive you to Kingston, to Barrie, to Niagara Falls, to wherever you got to go. Full, full, full. I finally get a number for the Salvation Army in London. The girl answers. She said, they got a bed as long as I can get there right away. Her name? Faith. That was my first prayer answered. Her dad actually helped start Teen Challenge London. Like, what are the chances? You know, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. So I got to that place, and Faith, because being a Christian, she started teaching me how to read the Bible. I'd never read the Bible up to that point. You know, I'm coming off 3 points of fentanyl a day and 80 milligrams of methadone. I should have got extremely sick. I've been a drug addict for most of my adult life, over 12 years, and I've experienced dope sickness many times. After the fourth day, I really didn't get that sick. I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't. They held me in observation an extra day because we thought the sickness was still coming. I called my older sister to tell her. I said, Mandy, I didn't even get that sick. I don't know what I was so worried about. She goes, Adam, I wasn't worried at all. I'd been praying and fasting for you, and I knew you would be okay. I was blown away. You know, I don't know how else to explain that. I went back to my room, and again, I cried out to God. I said, you know, if this is obviously your will for me, just please continue to open the doors, put me where you need to put me, whatever needs to happen, I believe. And I felt something in my heart shift. You know, my desires changed. My outlook on life changed. I began to have hope for my future, and I just began to appreciate things more. I wrote a letter to all those people at the Salvation Army thinking, like, these people aren't here for the money. They're just here to make differences in people's lives. Like, up until that point, I'd been so focused on the wrong things. So, you know, faith let me stay in the shelter longer so that I could make it to Teen Challenge. And when I got to Teen Challenge, I dove right in. I had been beat down, broken. You know, I'm believing in God wholeheartedly now. I started reading the Bible. He started to speak to me through this word. You know, it is the living word. I see why. And so many epiphanies and spiritual experiences and everything I've had at Teen Challenge, it's been amazing. It's opened my eyes so much. Again, there's people like Mark who's dedicated his life to this, to making changes in people's life. We have volunteers who come in who don't even get paid to read the Bible with us. Like, I get to experience it on a daily basis. I get to see the miracles in my brother's life that have changed. I get to see these guys when they came in to now. God is so amazing. I really began to feel the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And I wish that I could end my story on this great high note. But when I came into Teen Challenge, me and my sister made a pact we were going to do it together. She went back to the trap house. And my little sister overdosed in April. But it has forced me to, you know, it was another situation where I experienced God's strength. And it has forced me to look at life through a whole different lens. Like, what are we doing with our lives? I am so grateful now for every breath I get, for everything I get, for being here, for this opportunity to be a vessel, for the opportunity to speak to you guys, you know, for His mercy, for His grace, for His love. I am just extremely thankful, and I thank you guys again for this opportunity.
I might need a second. Wow. So although we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. We can agree to that. Jesus Christ changes lives. Just happy that, you know, I'm able to serve in such a way. You know, God's turned my mess into a message, and Adam, it truly is my pleasure, man, to help you guys out. So that's Teen Challenge, everyone. You can see why this place just is a huge part of my heart, and in a broken world, people, we need some good news, right? So hopefully what we said today is encourage you guys, and again, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation, so just really ingrain that in your heart, that there's always hope. So in closing, I just want to mention a few things. We have a Mother's Day market coming up in the Niagara region in May. It's a pretty new endeavor, but if this interests you in any way, you want to get involved or get some more information, please, we have some buck slips at the table, so come grab one, and there's information on that. Our sponsorship program, so I just want to touch upon this real quick. We all got one of these on the way in, so, you know, if your heart is saying, you know what, I want to get involved with Teen Challenge, like, I believe in the work you're doing, this is a great way. This is what keeps our doors open, is our sponsorship program. So basically what this is it's a monthly commitment, so it's $40 a month. So Cole needs sponsors, Mikey needs sponsors, people can have multiple sponsors. So $40 a month, so the price of, you know, one Tim Hortons a day. Or for those fancy dress people, one Starbucks a month. I encourage you, my heart just says these guys in this ministry are so worth it. You know, there's no better investment in my opinion. And, you know, when your guy graduates, you know, we send you a new card in the mail, and it's crazy. The bulk of our sponsors at Teen Challenge have been sponsoring since we opened up in 1991, because they see the value in what they're investing in. So we appreciate if you guys would consider that. So God bless you guys. And I just want to say this, like, we're going to be at the table after, and we love to pray. So please, 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 come and talk with us. Let us pray with you. Let us give you some information on the program if that's the need. And, you know, we're just so thankful that we've got a second chance in life. So God bless you guys. It's been a great morning.
So I'm sure we've all been impacted by families or people that we know who've gone through things or needed things right now that are struggling. And this is such a great cause. Like it's amazing to see what God can do in people's lives and change things when there feels like there's no hope and there's no way out. And God comes in and uses a ministry like Teen Challenge to help and equip people and do those things. So I encourage you today, if you're able to give, we're going to take up an offering to bless their ministry and to pour back in and to see more lives change. So we're going to take up an offering. If you're able to give and support them, I encourage you to do so. On your check, you can just write payable to Niagara Worship Center, and we will make sure the funds get to them. You get a tax-deductible receipt to that. You can also use the website to give, and you can also go out to their booth and, you know, use debit and things like that as well. So those are some options to give, but we just want to bless them and encourage them. Maybe you can play some music. I'm going to pray, and we're just going to believe that God just continues to pour into their ministry, into these men's lives, and to see continual change. Because God is good and he's doing great things through them. So I just want to thank you guys for coming. It's not easy to stand up here and share the things you've gone through and the struggles you faced. And it takes some real guts. And so I thank you for doing it and being a blessing to others. Amen? Let's give him a hand, yeah. So I'm just going to close in prayer and then we encourage you to have a great week. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to just come and listen this morning to your words, to the things you're doing, God, to the testimonies of how great you are, Lord. We just thank you, God, that you just move on people's lives, that you break chains. You just take people out of hopeless situations, God, and you restore and you bring new life. We thank you, God, that you're always willing to be in our lives. I just ask you, God, that today, Lord, that you would just be with everyone who came this morning. Just change their life, God. I just ask you, God, that just continue to pour in blessings upon everyone this morning, that you would just be with them throughout the week, Lord. And we give you the praise, God, for everything you're doing and the things that you've already started that we're even unaware of. We give you thanks for that today, Father, in your precious name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.